meeting will now come to order. Time is 7:42. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on May 10th of 2018 by faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times. Posting on the district website, main bulletin board, in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school, and finally faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Going to do a roll call now. Ms. McLaughlin?
Here.
Ms. Brennan?
Present.
Ms. Brooks?
Here.
Dr. Foy?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Ms. Olasky?
Here.
Mr. Dogata?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Brennan, would you please lead in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm looking for a motion, please, to appoint Ms. Michelle Cohn as the Assistant Board Secretary this evening without compensation whenever the Board Secretary is not present. Motion, please.
Motion.
Motion, Dr. Foy.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Olasky. Mrs. Radogada?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant. Motion carries. Mrs. McLaughlin, would you please be the process guardian for this evening's meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to turn the meeting over to our Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Pamela Fyant.
Good evening, everyone. It is my distinct honor tonight to help to recognize those members of our community who are retiring this year. They represent 192.5 years of service. I believe many of them are in the audience. We'd like for you to come up. We have a special presentation for you, and if you would stay in the front here because we do want to get a picture. Alphabetically, Grace Balog has served since 1992 to 2018. Jean Baxter has served since 1997 through to 2018. Jean Baxter. Accepting on her behalf is Judy Hammond, CTMS Middle School Principal. Thank you. Having served as a school nurse since 1995 and soon to serve as a grandmother, Michelle Behay. Since 1993, Virginia Brooks has been a teaching assistant with us. Mary Ann De La Sera joined us in 2005 as a secretary. Lorraine Rainey Duell has been with us since 1997. And this woman has been with us since 2006 and has made sure we're all paid on time. Diane Handley. Having served in the district since 2013 and keeping everyone healthy, Ellen Jacobson. A more pleasant smile and helpful person you would never find in human resources, my friend and colleague Debbie Krupp since 2002. Having worked in the district since 1991, Mary Ann Pendleberry. Having been with us since 2013, a kind, gentle, humble man and wonderful worker, Victor Santimet. It's only fitting that Michelle Behe gave this book to me, and one of the poems is called For Retirement. This is where your life has arrived. After all the years of effort and toil, look back with graciousness and thanks on all your great and quiet achievements. You stand on the shore of new invitation to open your life to what is left undone. Let your heart enjoy a different rhythm, whether drawn to the wonders of the wonder of other horizons. Have the courage for a new approach to time. Allow it to slow until you find freedom. To draw alongside the mystery you hold and befriend your own beauty of your own soul. Now is the time to enjoy your heart's desire, to live the dreams you've waited for, to awaken the depths beyond your work and enter into your infinite source. Congratulations and thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, before you leave, did you want to take pictures?
I did.
Oh, great. On behalf of the Clinton Township Board of Education, I'd like to thank each of you for your many years of service to the district, to our children, and to our community. You've made a significant impact on the lives of countless children in our community. So on behalf of the board, thank you very much. Enjoy retirement. My apologies for that little glitch. Technology is great when it works. Good evening. And on behalf of the Clinton Township Board of Education, I'd like to welcome all of you to this evening's special meeting. Tonight's topic is not a new topic to the community members of Clinton Township or to the staff at the Clinton Township School District. The information presented this evening is a culmination of research, its findings, and the analysis of an exorbitant amount of data that examines the feasibility of closing a school. This research has been ongoing since April of 2014, and our team has been working to find the best possible solution to the challenges we are discussing this evening. We have left no stone unturned in trying to find that best possible solution. Much of the information that will be presented this evening has been shared in a series of Public Board of Education meetings, on the district website, in the board's monthly newsletter, and in the Clinton Township newsletter itself. During board meetings, members of the community have been given an opportunity to share their comments and ask their questions during public comment section. Tonight, our superintendent of schools, Dr. Pamela Fiander, will make a formal recommendation to the Board of Education as to how best manage the district's declining enrollment and rising operational costs. She will base her recommendation on her expertise in education, primarily her past experience in managing declining school enrollment and rising expenses. In addition, since her arrival, Dr. Fiander has also conducted a significant amount of research regarding our school district. The Board of Education understands and recognizes that many questions and concerns have been generated from the investigation on how to address our school's declining enrollment and rising operational expenses. Our goal tonight is to lay out the plan for a district reorganization, substantiate the reasons and the need, and to address any questions you may have. We respectfully ask that everyone in the audience be patient, hold all their comments and questions as Dr. Fiander and our educational expert share their findings and recommendation with all who are present this evening. When Dr. Fiander completes her presentation and makes her recommendation to the full board, members of the Board of Education will ask questions regarding the content of the presentation and her recommendation. Once members of the Board of Education have finished asking their questions, I will open the floor to a public comment section on this agenda item only. When the public comment section is concluded, the Board of Education will vote to either accept or reject Dr. Fiander's recommendation. Tonight we will provide a historical review of the process that brings us here to this evening's recommendation. Dr. Fiander will then review her findings and provide her recommendation to the board. Mr. David Hespy is with us this evening. He has served as a consultant with Dr. Fiander and the feasibility of closing a school committee. He is the former Commissioner of Education for the state of New Jersey, and he will discuss the benefits of the proposed reorganization. The resolution will be read to the board. Questions will be asked by the board and then the public, and then we will vote. The Clinton Township Board of Education has two overarching goals. The first is an educational goal, where we are committed to providing the highest quality education possible to the children of Clinton Township. The second goal is a financial one. We are fully committed to remaining fiscally responsible to the taxpayers of Clinton Township. There have been many occasions when the board has been faced with challenging decisions while providing oversight to the district. I would like to assure everyone that we would not take any action that would negatively change or negatively impact the education that we deliver to our children in this community. We are just like you. We are dedicated to completely supporting the social, emotional, academic growth, and well-being of all of our children. From the first day the Board of Education began exploring options to manage our school's declining enrollment and rising operating costs, we've always reminded ourselves about our two overarching goals. The board has also stated on many occasions that we would not increase class size and we will adhere to the district's policy on class size.
As I stated a moment ago, the topic of evaluating the feasibility of closing the school has been one that the district and administration have been reviewing for quite some time. However, with that said, there may be some or many members in the public in the audience tonight or listening on the audio later this week that may not be aware of all the information that's been gathered and released to the public over the last few years. Therefore, before Dr. Fiander discusses her findings and provides her recommendation, I will begin tonight's presentation by reviewing historical information regarding this topic. This section will be long and filled with a great deal of information. I would ask you for your patience as everyone becomes current with the background, prior research, and results involving the topic for this evening's discussion. So why did the Board of Education form an ad hoc committee to study the feasibility of closing a school? There are two main reasons. One, a decline in student enrollment, and two, rising costs associated with providing an education to our children. The Clinton Township School District, like many other districts in the state and in Hunterdon County, are facing a declining enrollment and increases in the cost to operate their school district. In Hunterdon County alone, Califon is considering closing a school. Bloomsbury also recently considered consolidation. Next month, Stockton Borough Elementary School, part of the South Hunterdon Regional School District, will be closing. Branchburg School District has also closed a school. North Hunterdon Voorhees Regional High School commissioned a demographic study because most of their sending districts are experiencing the same things that we are. Let's take a look for a moment at the first reason why an ad hoc committee was formed. Up here on the screen, you'll see our enrollment from 1995 until this month. And I'd like to highlight the year 2006, where we were at our maximum at 1,842 students. And as of May 2018, we are now at 1,277 students. This is a decrease of 565 students. With a decline in student enrollment, many people make this key assumption. And the assumption is declining enrollment must equal a reduction in the school budget and the staff. However, in this educational climate that exists today, this equation does not hold true. And there are two key drivers that are responsible for increasing our spending. One is unfunded mandates, and the other is required spending. So for a moment, let's talk about unfunded mandates. What is an unfunded mandate? An unfunded mandate is a requirement that the state gives to a district that they must implement, and it is not funded by the state. So the actual implementation costs of this mandate and the ongoing expenses are not funded. Districts do not receive a penny for executing this mandate. And here are a couple of examples on the screen of mandates that were in play when the board was sitting and began to evaluate what to do in this situation. The first one I'd like to bring to your attention is the teacher-principal evaluation system. That was an unfunded mandate given by the state. It cost the district over $200,000. When the Common Core was introduced, the district between 14 and 15 spent $391,715. And since then, the district has spent additional money to align with the Common Core. Another example is to become park ready. So for our standardized testing, we spent almost $750,000 to get ready for that particular unfunded mandate. The last example I have up here this evening of an unfunded mandate is New Jersey Smart. And when New Jersey Smart's unfunded mandate came into play, the district was forced to hire technology support at about $40,000 in salary, in addition to benefits as well. The second half of the equation, or what doesn't make the equation work, is required spending. What is required spending? Required spending
are expenses that the district must incur or do incur in order to make the district run. We have three examples here for you. The first is salary and benefits. In 2014-15, salary comprised about 78% of our overall budget. Now I believe it's somewhere around 79 or 80% of our overall budget. An estimate for 2019 is that our health care benefits will increase somewhere between 18 and 19%, and in dollars that equals well over $500,000. Building security. With what's happening in America today, as you know, the Board of Education has invested, as of 2014, about $1 million in security. We continue to invest in the safety and security of our staff and our children. But this is another one of those required spending items that the district must pay for. I want to give you an example of a facility expense. In order to keep our wastewater treatment plants moving, we've spent over $560,000 as of 2014-15 to keep that process working as well. I'd like to give you one other category of required spending, and this one is unpredictable for us, okay? And it's changes in special education law. When the district cannot educate a student with special needs in district, and in order for that student to get proper education, we send them out to a school that can service their needs the best. It's on average that it costs the district $125,000 a year to send that child out of district. Most of that expense is not recoverable by the district. We don't get reimbursed for it. A large portion of that is transportation, and we don't get any type of reimbursement for that either. The problem here with these schools is that they're not capped. And so they can continue to raise their costs to the district, and we can't respond to it. We have to send our children out, and so we're unfortunately vulnerable to having to pay those expenses. There have been significant changes in education over the last 10 years, and when the board again was trying to decide what to do with managing our two challenges, we identified these things up on the board. I won't go through all of them. Some of them I've already gone through, but you can clearly see that these types of things have had significant impacts on how we deliver education to children and the expenses incurred relative to these things. Again, security, steep increases in healthcare costs. Districts are managing their budgets under a 2% cap. So these are all the challenges that the district is facing at this particular moment in time. Now, the district hasn't stood still. As our expenses have increased. In fact, we've done a significant number of things in the time frame of 2014-15, and we continue to do things to contain costs. And here are some of the items that we've done and actions we've taken as a board to contain costs. We've refinanced our debt service in 2011-12. We've applied for SDA grants. We entered into school choice to generate revenue of over $5.4 million. We utilize source for teachers to contain the rising cost of benefits, and we've entered into the state health care benefit plans to try to contain our health care costs. So we know that there's a decline in student enrollment and increases in expenses because of unfunded mandates and required expenses. So where does the district go from here? In April of 2014, the Board of Education hired Dr. Richard Gripp to perform a demographic study and project the future enrollment over the next 3 to 5 years. Dr. Gripp, in 2014, supplied the Board of Education with his findings, which included the fact that there are several things and several factors that are forcing our enrollment to drop. Up on the screen are a few of those. First is that there is a huge trend in younger families of childbearing years not living in the suburbs, but in fact are living in the cities, Hoboken, Jersey City. Families are having less children. There's an aging population here in Clinton Township, and that population is aging out of childbearing years. We've also lost some significant companies in our area, like Merck, Foster Wheeler, and AT&T. Dr. Grip concluded his report by saying that the trend will continue for another 7 to 8 years. And again, this was several years ago. So after we received Dr. Grip's report on the demographic study, the board formed an ad hoc committee to examine the feasibility of closing a school. And I want to read the goal to you of that committee: to review all possibilities involved in a reorganization of the Clinton Township School District to reduce the overall annual operating budget while maintaining the quality for the children in our community. Right after the committee was established, the members of the committee, which included members of our administration, went into action and began evaluating the total student enrollment, class size, and total number of sections at that time. Then they reviewed projected enrollment trends over the next 3 years, the impact of the legal COA requirements at that time, and new construction on future enrollment, and the policy that dictates class size. The committee and administration conducted a capacity analysis for each building and discussed options for utilizing existing building space as it is at the moment and the pros and cons at that moment. Finally, the committee compiled and compared options for utilization under a district building consolidation structure and their pros and cons. Both the committee and administration identified three potential options for district consolidation. The first was to reconfigure the district into neighborhood schools. We would reconfigure districts into neighborhood schools to keep children closer to their homes. And the unused space in the schools, which would stay at four, we could potentially put daycare centers, senior centers, special education programs, VOTEC. The committee looked extensively into that as well. The second option was to consolidate into three buildings, and then under that scenario, with the fourth building, you could sell a school, mothball a school, or create, develop, and implement a revenue-generating source in that fourth building. The third option was to maintain the current configuration and do nothing. I'm going to very quickly go through the next set of slides. I just want to get to Dr. Fiander's portion of the presentation quickly, but I just want to show everybody the level of detail that the committee went through before making a recommendation 2 years ago. So they looked at creating neighborhood schools here, and you can see how that would be configured. We talked about the pros and cons of a community school to get a sense of whether that was a good option or not. We looked at the pros and cons for what we would do with the existing space in these schools if we had community-based schools. And so we said to ourselves, okay, so we're considering consolidating into three schools from four. In 2006, we had 1,842 students, and at that time, we had 1,410. We had an understanding at that time of new educational structures, building strengths and weaknesses, capacities, the current enrollment, and we said, could we consolidate in 2016 into three buildings? And the answer to the question at the time was yes, but. And there are a lot of buts involved with it. The committee thought that we would repurpose the Spruce Run School because it had a small capacity. And if we had an increase in enrollment, if we used Spruce Run, we didn't have room to go out or up. And it was the oldest school and would require more maintenance and capital improvements over the years. The committee also looked at consolidation and the educational, operational pros and cons, costs to upgrade, potential savings, and we also looked at the risks to the district at that particular moment in time if we did consolidate. We then looked at the second option, what do we do with the fourth school? We looked at the pros and cons of selling, mothballing, renting, and creating a revenue-generating business in that fourth building. On March 15th of 2016, the committee made a recommendation to the full board at a special meeting. And the committee said the recommendation that was to follow was based on information that they had at that particular moment in time, knowing that anything could change, and then all of a sudden, the recommendation that the committee made would be invalidated. So the recommendation in March of 2016 was do not consolidate the district for 2016-17 school year and 17-18 school years. However, and this is important, the committee and administration recommended that the district should begin preparations at that time for consolidation. The board and the committee and the administration understood that the enrollment was going to continue to decrease and that we should start doing things to prepare for consolidation. And the reason for not consolidating at that time was operational challenges. We needed additional space for the sixth grade, and we needed to complete some structural changes throughout the district. The next steps towards consolidation at that time were outlined by the committee in March of 2016. We were going to continue to work with the architect to plan on how to consolidate. We were going to conduct a cost analysis, continue to look for revenue sources under current district configurations. And with our board attorney, we were going to explore approvals that we would need from the state if we were going to close a school. Finally, on that same evening, the committee identified key triggers that would need to be achieved in order to consolidate the district into three buildings. They were that all the operational requirements identified by the administration and committee had to be finalized. Enrollment of grades 6, 7, and 8 had to be six sections, and that class size could not violate the district's policy on class size. A sustainable revenue-generating program must be identified. Subsequent to that research and presentation, our superintendent retired, and so there was a lapse in the committee's work. But in February 2017, the ad hoc committee reconvened to continue discussions on the feasibility of closing the school. At that meeting, committee members discussed a number of steps to take in order to continue the evaluation of closing the school. And those tasks are listed up here, and they included conducting the cost analysis and contacting other school districts that have closed a building within the last four to 5 years to learn about their processes and to gather articles published on school districts that had closed schools or other policies in other districts or cities around the country so we could use it as a guideline. In March of 2017, the committee retained the services of Dr. William Labrera. He was the former Commissioner of Education, the state of New Jersey. And the committee and the board wanted him to set a goal, and the goal was to conduct a more in-depth study of all the potential options for how to manage a building after a district consolidated it. Dr. Labrera reported the results of his research in two meetings, one on May 8th and one on May 22nd. Dr. Labrera reported to the Board of Education his findings. He gave us several options of what we could do with a fourth building. We could create an early childhood center serving children from ages 2 through kindergarten. He said it would be a revenue source, and in particular if it was a before and after care. He also said that we could potentially open a school for children ages 3 to 21 with autism. He supplied us with advantages and disadvantages of that particular option as well. Dr. Libera provided us with a second option. He did spend a significant amount of time with commercial real estate folks. They said that the footprint of the school allowed for 2 to 4 entrances, independent entrances into the building, so that you could put up to 4 different types of programs into that building, and that there was ample parking for that to occur. It was attractive, according to the experts, for a sublease. But there are some disadvantages to that as well. And that included that the board would be a landlord. And if anybody's ever been a landlord, you know there's some challenges with that as well. He also felt it would be very difficult for us to predict the market for leasing. And that Spruce Run also was not located on a major road. Dr. Libera gave us a third option. He said, I've done a lot of research, spoken with a lot of experts in real estate. You could potentially sell Spruce Run. Their estimates were between $2.5 million and $4 million is what we could get for that building. However, the length of time that building could be on the market was very unclear. Sales provide, according to Dr. Libera, a nice one-time influx of money, and we can use that money to offset the costs of reorganizing the school. And then the annual operating cost of Spruce Run would be eliminated as well. But the disadvantages, according to Dr. Libera, were significant. The length of time for the building to become sold was unclear. The property that was adjacent to the building was residential and not attractive to buyers. And again, the building was on a road that was residential and not very close to 78, but close enough to 78 or 31. The fourth option Dr. Libera gave the board was wait and do nothing. And he said it safeguards against enrollment, so that if enrollment increases, we could always go back from 3 buildings to 4 buildings. Immediately following the presentation from Dr. Libera, the Clinton Township Superintendent left the district for another job in a larger district. As you're aware, on August 30th, 2017, we hired Dr. Pamela Fiander to become the next superintendent of schools. Dr. Fiander quickly acclimated herself to the district, and after she became comfortable and familiar with our schools and our staff, the ad hoc committee began its work once again. In the spring, the ad hoc committee and Dr. Fiander announced it would make a final presentation and recommendation to the full Board of Education regarding the feasibility of closing a school at the end of May of 2018. The committee and Dr. Fiander have been working very diligently to finalize all aspects of their research. And I have to add that the administration, Dr. Fiander, and Mr. Hespe have put in hundreds and hundreds of hours into their work. They've gathered and organized all possible data in order to make a final recommendation and presentation to the full board and the public this evening. The committee and superintendent defined the following tasks at that time for the superintendent to oversee completion of in determining a proposed definitive direction for the fall of 2018. And those items include finalizing a demographic study, conducting a scheduling analysis, completing a transportation analysis, finishing a seniority study, crafting personnel deployment options, identifying potential one-time costs of any relocation plan, conducting an overall cost analysis of a proposed final plan, and designing a communications plan. As I mentioned before, Dr. Fiander worked with Mr. Dave Hespe, former Commissioner of Education for the state of New Jersey, and he helped to share his expertise and knowledge in education to help facilitate the gathering of this information. So what I've just presented to you is a very high level of a historical overview of the research that's been completed by the administration over the years and by the board and the committee. And now I'd like to introduce Dr. Pamela Feyender, Superintendent of Schools, who will now share the results of her analysis and current studies. Dr. Feyender?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I just realized I'm celebrating my 9th month anniversary in the Clinton Township School. And it was about 9.5 months ago I was listening to the audio tapes of Dr. Labrera's presentation and trying to understand what are the challenges that Clinton Township School District is facing. And so I walked in with my eyes wide open, getting to know the faculty, the staff, the infrastructure, and studying the past information. And I have been thinking long and hard about what if. What if we can take the challenges we have as a school district in lower the enrollment declining, and that is happening everywhere. I come out of a private school background where schools are closing and imploding because the birth rates are down. And what are we going to do with enrollment that's declining yet increased expenses? And is there a way we can take all of these challenges, and what if we can maintain our class sizes? What if we can keep our talented faculty? What if we can continue to offer programs and curriculum and more resources? And what if we can do it and still save significant amounts of money? And that has been my challenge as I look at this. And I know that we all see things through different lenses. And I also know that there are lots of questions out there. And I don't know that we'll be able to answer all of them tonight, but talk about being in the weeds. My shoes are green. I know a lot about the details. And again, we may not be able to share it all tonight, but I am fascinated by a commercial I'm seeing on TV by the new president of Uber. And I sent myself a text, and his mantra is, listening will make us a better organization. And my promise to you is that now that we have the information to share and we're in a position to do that, I want to do a lot of listening, because listening will make me a better superintendent, and it will make us able to more collectively work as we try to solve the challenges of the district. So while there are people leaving us for retirement after 192.5 years, and I only have 9 months on them, I have a great deal of respect for all they have brought to us. Because I believe, as Thomas Wolfe, to paraphrase, we're all the sum total of all of those who have come before us, who are with us now, and who will go with us, who will be here long after we're gone. Now look, I'm 62 in July. I love presents if they're consumable. I want you to know that I'm not a long timer here, but it's like a 440 race. I'm going to take the baton and run it as fast as far as I can and pass it along. So if you'll give me the gift of listening, I promise you I'll give it to you as well. So here's my what if scenario. I call this the study, analysis, and recommendation for reorganizing the district. And I started with what if we could maintain class sizes, generate more programs, maintain our incredible faculty, and significantly reduce overall costs. And then I said, how? And this is the plan I'm presenting to the Board of Education tonight and to you. Preschool, pre-kindergarten, and Spruce Run, with the opportunity to create revenue-generating programs that are educationally based. I really have a dream of having a child caring center here. Dr. Labrera's plan was for 2 through kindergarten. I would love to go to infants, but that's to be explored. Move grades K, 1, and 2 to PMG, Round Valley School to be grades 3, 4, and 5, and CTMS to be grades 6, 7, and 8. How would the district look? Currently, as you can see, Spruce Run has 3 grades, PMG 2, Round Valley has 3 grades, and CTMS 2. In the green, you will see how they would move. Kindergarten and first grade would simply go to PMG earlier. Round Valley School would have third grade come to it earlier, and our sixth graders would go 1 year earlier to CTMS. Why now? As we said, the enrollment numbers are lower. We've been examining maximum space capacity use. We talked about in the past, one of the programs said we'd have to create more science spaces. Scheduling is a fungible operation, and we have run scheduling scenarios with the administrators, and we can run this without having to build additional classrooms. The capacity in these buildings is extraordinary compared to the enrollment that's currently here. We're looking at revenue-generating opportunities, and I call it coincidental retirement. I would like to explain, if we were to do nothing in terms of reorganizing the district, for example, we have a wonderful school nurse and secretary and custodian who you met tonight who are retiring. If we choose not to reorganize the district, we would be replacing them. Because they are leaving, I call it coincidentally, with the reorganization, those are three of the positions we do not have to fill. Okay? So that's how I'm calling it coincidental. We have increasing costs in salary and benefits. Anybody who has a business or is paying out-of-pocket benefits knows that those continue to rise. As Mrs. Grant talked about, the unfunded state mandates, aging buildings, and the cost of special ed services. This is no secret. Our enrollment continues to decline. Our latest study done by Dr. Payton out of Princeton is that it will continue to decline and plateau in about 5 years at 1,170 children. Just to give you context, the total capacity of our buildings is 2,131 children. So one of the things we want to talk about, why repurpose Spruce Run? The board decided not to want to sell it, and I absolutely agree, because in the future, things may change. Corporations may move here, millennials may decide that they do want to come to the suburbs and no longer operate in the cities, and we don't know what social factors might change. So by not selling Spruce Run, we leave that as an opportunity for growth if it changes in the future. The reorganization also allows for us to do revenue-generating, educationally-based programs. We don't want to lease or sell to another entity so that we can maintain it as an educational facility. And as Mrs. Grant also pointed out, there are four separate entryways, so that gives a perfect opportunity to have different businesses. And oh, one other dream I have is to house the Hunterton Center for Professional Development in our district. I think we could be a lighthouse for professional development in the county. It's a dream I have. Now, this is important and near and dear to everyone. Class size standards. And I think this is kind of small, but bottom line, there is no change to class size in this proposal. If you get an opportunity, and this will all be on the website so that you'll be able to see it. Right now, class sections average 20, pardon me? Oh, I'm sorry. There, better? Oh, I'm sorry. Right now, class sizes are 20.65 children, 21. I purposely left this 0.65. In this reorganization, the class size average through the district would be 20.40. 21 students average, 21 students average. The reorganization therefore does not, and we don't want to change class sizes, we want to keep them at a reasonable level. Sections range this year from 17, in other words, the lowest class size is a kindergarten section in 17, up to 22 students per class in grade 8, I believe it is. Next year, it's 18 in kindergarten, up to 22 students grades 4 to 8. Both currently and next year, the overall class size is 21 students. Major aspects of reorganizing include building capacity. Right now, the capacity designated for Spruce Run is 441 students, in PMG 541, Round Valley 506, CTMS 640 students for a total of 2,131. As we are currently organized in the four buildings, that averages about 52% capacity of the entire district. And as our enrollment continues to decline, that becomes less. If we look to move the K-8 population to three buildings, it increases our capacity, our building use, which is efficiencies, to an average of 69% in the the three buildings housing K-8 students. So PMG would go to 59%, Round Valley to 75%, and CTMS to 74% capacity. In terms of personnel deployment, as I said earlier, with the reorganization, there are a number of people leaving the district due to retirement, non-renewal, and resignations, and I'm meaning non-renewal for performance. In addition, we anticipate three positions, an additional kindergarten section, and two special ed positions, and there may be others. This is the time of year when things fluctuate. With 14 retiring positions, four non-renewal for performance, two resignations, and three new positions, we're talking about 21 positions that are leaving. As we do staffing scenarios, we have non-renewed, as the district does annually, the non-tenured teachers, 20 non-tenured teachers. In our staffing scenarios, there's opportunity to reemploy. So why I think this is such an amazing opportunity is that we will be able to keep our talented teachers because we've had the retirements and the resignations that we've had. And that's a deployment that I think is pretty amazing. When will staff members be assigned? Each spring, multiple staffing scenarios are run. We do this every year. We look at enrollment, schedule, certification, special ed needs. All these recommendations come through from the building principals with the help of our directors in technology and curriculum. And then I must take recommendations to the personnel committee of the board. Those are vetted. And then in June, final recommendations will be made for staff assignments. So that is the timeline for that. And that is typical every year. Major aspects of reorganizing is that people are saying, will we have appropriate personnel? Yes, there will be a principal or administrator at each building and all the required support and contingent personnel that are needed. It is anticipated that the personnel deployment that I'm talking about in this reorganization will result in an estimated savings in personnel cost alone of $800,000. Also, people are concerned about what time do we start, what time do we end. Our current starting times, you know them well, the faculty and staff. Next year, this is driven, pun intended, by the transportation routes. And I'll get to transportation in a moment. But by able to tier a two-tier routing system, it would put Spruce Run at the 855 to 315, PMG 855 to 315. Round Valley is the school that would see the change, 850 to 310. CTMS would remain as it is now. I hear you. What? Which is 5 minutes longer? I put it from the calendar, so I have to get the calendar straight. So transportation, route lengths will be equal to what is currently offered. This year, the routes run from 1 minute, there's children who live in a development right here, to 46 minutes district-wide. The average ride, according to our transportation director, is 30 to 35 minutes. You should also know that we transport over 92% of our students. With this reorganization and a two-tiered system, Jerry Ford tells us routes will not exceed the lengths that we find this year. As always, we continue assessing to make adjustments. If somebody moves in and is farther out and we have to adjust some routes, we do that continually, and we can also do that next year in the reorganization. The overall transportation savings from what we currently do to what is proposed next year is conservatively $300,000. So you take the $800,000 in personnel and the $300,000 in transportation cost, and those are the only two things I'm sharing. There are other not as significant. That is the total cost of savings for the reorganization plan. One of the major aspects of reorganizing has a curriculum base. It has students in 6, 7, and grade 8 will continue to be educated in the middle school model. We understand that this is really a very appropriate way to educate emerging adolescents, and we would look to add the advisor-advisee program along with the teaming. Lunch and recess times will be building-based because they have to be schedules that are developmentally appropriate for each group, and the work-family connection will continue to offer quality child care services. I hear lots of questions about how are we going to do this quickly? How can you get this done? What's interesting to me, because I thought about if the board would say, let's wait a year, we would be doing exactly this exactly at this time. We would be starting in June and making the move in July and August. One of the things that I do want to tell you, and one of my what I would insist upon is we would bring in an outside moving company to do the moving with a project manager. We would not expect the staff to do it. We would not expect the maintenance and custodial staff to do it. They spent last year doing all the issues with lead and water testing, and it took them away from the projects they typically do. So we have built into our planning the cost to have a moving company. In the overall picture, we anticipate, as I've said to you, significant savings in salary and benefits. There will be one-time costs for moves, and I believe I have a slide on that as well. We believe future revenue-generating opportunities in the second year will offset costs. Savings will provide, and this to me is the most exciting, opportunities to enhance programs. I think it will be amazing if we can look to enhance our opportunities in design labs and robotics and technology and probably a million more things you all can think about that you have and don't have in your classroom you would like to use for children and learning. We would be maintaining our existing programs, assemblies, clubs, concerts, and other related activities. And we also expect there will be anticipated tax relief for our community. The overall fiscal picture, if the board does approve the reorganization, the budget would in fact have to be amended. And we're estimating the savings in the first year of $900,000 because we have one-time costs. And after that, anticipated over $1 million annually. The conclusive dollar amount has to be finalized 1 year after the plan. We would know exactly what it is, but in the summer, the board would have to take action to put forth an amended budget to the state. This is the chart. We anticipate one-time costs for consultants, project manager, moving company, summer cleaning, demographic study, seniority study, summer tech help, contingency, always put in for contingency, and we estimate a cost of about $142,500, again, one-time cost. At this time, I would like to turn over to Mr. Hespy. He's been wonderfully wise in his advice. He has learned so much in his experience as an educator and administrator, and he's going to talk about some of the benefits to children in this reorganization package.
Thank you, Superintendent Feander. I appreciate your leadership here in the district. I'm going to try to move this up a little bit if I can so I can. Everyone hear me?
No.
No, all right. I'm going to try to get this up a little higher then. How about now? Better. All right, good. So let me first begin by congratulating again our retirees in the audience. It's a wonderful opportunity in your life. I actually retired last year from TPAF, 28 years of service. And the great thing is you can now pursue a lot of your passions. And one of my passions is I joined the Porzio, Bromberg, and Newman firm, and they've given me the opportunity to work with school districts grappling with the same issues you're grappling with here in Clinton, whether it's in South Jersey or North Jersey or Central Jersey. School districts have challenges. Communities change, the economy changes, society changes, and your schools must change as well. And this is, of course, the greatest challenge for you, your school board. And so I was very happy to be asked to help out with that change. I was able to build off some of the work of two of colleagues of mine, Rich Grip, who did the demographic study. Most demographic studies, as you know, are built on projections. And the best way to tell if that demographic study is valid is you look at, like in the morning, the weather forecaster says, well, it's going to rain today. If you look out the window in the morning, it's raining. That provides you a pretty good sense of validity for that weather forecast. Similarly with the demographic study, if it projects 2 years ago that you're going to see enrollment declines over the period and you see those enrollment declines, it gives you a very good idea that that report is valid, and it is. Dr. Librera, also a colleague of mine, I think I read through his studies, his presentations, and I think he did a very good job in terms of providing some light and guidance on your options and those costs and benefits and disadvantages. So what I was asked to do in a nutshell is look at the educational benefits. So in other words, Clinton, like most school districts in the state, you have a vision, and your vision is to take students from where they are now and to help them improve, help them pursue their talents, help them pursue their aspirations. And the question I asked myself after reviewing all of the material and the superintendent's recommendations and vision was, will this reorganization help the district achieve those goals, help you achieve the goal of helping your students improve and pursue their talents and pursue their aspirations? And I looked at it and I came to the conclusion that yes it will do those things. And on the slides, I'll run through just a couple of examples of why I believe that. Looking at your grade three students, you're going to have opportunities for more enrichment programs. In sixth grade, you're going to have more co-curricular opportunities as they head to the middle school. The sixth grade attending the middle school will be aligning quite quickly with the middle school model, which of course is aligned in turn with the success criteria for middle schools. There's a lot of research on this issue of middle schools that work, and we look at that issue of, will these sixth graders now have the benefit of that model? I believe they will. They will receive a bridge to high school that they would not otherwise have. And of course, in a district with transitions, that transition to high school is a very, very important one. There it is. Technology is great when it works. A great quote of our board president. It's great when it works. We'll also have benefits in kindergarten and first grade. They'll have a larger recess space, so which is very important for that age level, and access to equipment that I think the district will be looking to bring online. I think all schools will have age groupings that are more developmentally appropriate, and we'll also be looking at that transitional issue for all students. The reorganization will increase the number of students per building. Of course, this allows for a critical mass for a number of extracurricular activities and co-curricular activities. And finally, this will also benefit special education students because they'll have a longer age span in the buildings. I just wanted to give you a flavor for why I believe the educational benefits are here, why it certainly will leave your students in a better place once you've been able to implement it. I also took a look at indicators of successful schools. Oftentimes people say to consultants, all right, well, what's your criteria? What are you using to make this decision? Well, there's a body of research on what an effective school looks like. And the question I ask myself is, by implementing a reorganization plan that better aligns with those best practices in an individual school, you can say very clearly that will help those children because you're now aligned more closely with best practices that are research-based. And you're doing that. Technology, literacy, all the things that Superintendent Fierender has laid out as her vision for the district are those quality criteria that we know makes for strong schools. So I will turn the mic back to the superintendent, and I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you tonight.
Thank you. other major aspects is people ask, how will this affect outside organizations? We generously welcome outside organizations to use our facilities. We will continue to do that. It's a practice because we believe the facilities do belong to the community. When will this reorganization be complete? It will be complete in preparation for the opening of the first day of school. Our targeted completion of moving would be August 17th. Keeping you informed, the community parents and the staff are being informed through emails, monthly board meetings, on the website. We have links that were available to those. There's also a tab being placed on the front page of the website that you can have information regarding the history, and we will be updating that. People who don't live in, who do not work in the school district but live in the community will have an opportunity to give us their email address if they would like to have periodic updates. So we do want to keep people informed. What are some of the challenges? Round Valley School change and start and end times. There are staff members who have worked there and have built their child care and their lives around a start and end time, and so that's going to be a challenge we have to look at. Before care at Round Valley School, we will be talking with work family connections so that we have that opportunity. The timing of the move. As I said earlier, if we put this out in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, it would take place at this time. And what the administrators and I have been doing is, because if the board chooses not to do this, we have to be prepared for next year, and we called it as is. The current situation, as the buildings are allocated, as the staff are done, we have called that the as is plan. And we have that too. And we've been developing the as if we reorganize plan, because we wouldn't be doing our jobs unless we were able to answer all those questions. So if you talk to the principal or one of the senior staff members, if you want to ask about as is and as if, we have two different running in tandem planning scenarios. So what's the difference and what's the same? The average class size is the same currently and what we anticipate in the reorganization. The building capacity will become more efficient, from a 52% overall capacity to a 69%. Staffing, we anticipate that we will be able to have a place at the table for non-renewed personnel. Starting time, Round Valley, CTMS, Spruce Run, and PMG share starting and ending times. Next year, the change would be for Round Valley primarily. Transportation, no change. No change and a $300,000 savings. Curriculum, we support students socially, emotionally, and intellectually. I see it, I witness it, I see evidence of it every day. We will continue to do that, and we will have resources to add to the opportunities for those children. The overall cost benefit is estimated at $900,000 savings in the first year and over $1 million annually after that. So that is the difference that we see. And so when I ask myself, what if, I would really hope that the board will consider this proposal to reorganize the district and bring us those opportunities and those resources. And I sincerely thank you for your time. I sincerely thank all of you for being here, and I look forward to continuing the conversation. Thank you.
Before I open up the floor for members of the Board of Education to ask questions, I want to thank Dr. Fiander and her administrative team for all of their hard work on this project. I'd also like to thank Mr. Hespe for his priceless contributions, if you will, to this project as well. He brings years of experience, which have been invaluable for Dr. Fiander, her staff, and the committee to complete their work. So thank you, sir. There have also been many members of the board. Oh, sorry. Thank you. There have also been many members of the Board of Education over the years that have served on this committee, and I'd like to thank them for their hard work and many hours that they've dedicated to this project. Those current former board members include, and current members, Mary Beth Brooks, Dr. Jeff Foy, Gina Hand, Kevin Malloy, Dan McTiernan, Yahara Radogada, and Sue Vanderoff. To the Board of Education, I would like to read what the resolution is first so that you know what you would be voting on exactly. I'm not going to move it at this time. We'll do that in a second.
And then I will open the floor for you guys to ask questions. The resolution says, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education accepts the recommendation of the Ad Hoc Feasibility Committee and the Superintendent of Schools to reorganize for the 2018-19 school year the four district schools as follows. Spruce Run School, preschool through pre-kindergarten. Patrick McGarren School would include kindergarten, first grade, second grade. Round Valley School would include third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade. And the Clinton Township Middle School would include sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. So that's what you'll be voting on this evening. I'd like to open the floor for those of you that may have questions for Dr. Fyander, Mr. Hespy, and for Mr. Gagliardi as well, if there's anything legal that needs to be asked and answered. Kevin Loy?
Bear with me, I have a few. First of all, thank you for the presentation. So a couple of quick questions. I had some questions that I was writing down as you were speaking, and I'd seen some drafts, but you more or less answered them, specifically the why now, not next year. I had a question regarding the change from 2014 to 2016. In 2014, when we talked about the challenges of sixth grade, we'd have to build a science lab, it sounds like capacity in CTMS has solved that problem. We do not need to add a new science lab to the building right now, right?
Yes, it's partially capacity. It's also how you can schedule a building, and the CTMS has so much capacity and so many opportunities for scheduling, and Ms. Hammond has already run scenarios on that, and so we absolutely can run it without building additional labs.
Okay.
Yes.
Two quick questions, really for edification, because I saw a lot of it on social media in the public, and I think they're in the FAQ that was handed out, but please talk about bathrooms and PMG with regard to kindergarten, and talk about the playground and playground equipment with relation to some of the younger students at Patrick McGarren, and safety and propriety.
Sure. Currently, we have to get a waiver from the State Department of Education because there are not bathrooms at Spruce Run for kindergarten students, and you get a waiver so that you can take them and they have to go down the hall. Fortunately, at PMG, there are six classrooms that have bathrooms, and we are planning for, if the board approves the reorganization, the kindergartners would be in those classrooms, so they would have bathrooms. The PMG playground is a larger space. I understand that there's some concerns about the equipment, and I'm going to assess that so that we may have to look at maybe going to the PTA to do a fundraiser to get age-appropriate equipment for the younger children. But we will be assessing that. I believe the slide is one of the concerns.
Okay. Two other quick questions. In the overall cost of relocation, or reorganization rather, excuse me, or somewhere in the neighborhood of 150, what percentage of those costs have already been incurred? There's probably about a third of them have already been spent on the consultant, correct? So the costs are really related to project management and moving? I just want to make sure I got that right.
We have done the seniority study,
yep.
The demographic study. We have not paid yet. We paid for the seniority study, but not the demographic study. The moving company, none of those have been paid. None of them have been contracted yet. We've had some consultants. Mr. Hespy has worked with us, but not a significant amount of that has been done.
Okay, great.
And the seniority study and the demographic study were prior approvals right by the board.
Okay, I say the best for last, and I think maybe many folks outside are out in the room are thinking this. Please talk about why this plan would call for the start time at Round Valley School to change.
It's the transportation tiering is what caused is calling for that. Now, it could be we could go back if that is something the board wants to look at. I don't know that we recommend having staggered times in a particular building. It has been done, but it's driven by the transportation, those routes.
And has transportation looked at traffic? And here's what I mean. Three grades of buses dropping and picking up at the same time at RVS. RVS also, I think, is one of the schools where presently, this is my own anecdotal evidence because I drive past it most of the time, where a lot of the parents drop. So
right.
has traffic and transpo looked at, or has transportation looked at potential routing of traffic for congestion?
Well, I guess I'm a little confused. We currently have three grades at Round Valley.
Okay. That's you've answered my question.
Oh, okay.
I'm just making sure that people understand that there's really not necessarily an increase or decrease in congestion issues. Basically, the capacity of the school, I think, is actually reducing.
It is.
which means maybe we're going to have a little bit less traffic at Round Valley.
Yes, okay.
Yeah,
I thought it was a trick question.
No, I was asking, it was really more of a leading question.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm good. Thank you very much.